Good morning. I send greetings from Covenant Fellowship Church. As was announced, we did a pastor swap this morning, and you have the shorter end of the stick, and so I apologize. I've known Pastor Luke for quite some time, and I've gotten to know David and just met the other elders, and I've heard a lot of great things about All Souls, and so it really is my privilege to be with you this morning. The title of the sermon is, What is Your Greatest Treasure? And the text we're going to look at is a parable, a short parable that perhaps you might have come across through your journey of faith. It's found in Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 46. It says this, The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Let me pray as we look into God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your eternal deep love for your people. We thank you that you are present here, and we pray that your word would speak loudly to your people. We pray that you would speak to us through your living word, and may you do a work only you can do. We thank you, we look to you, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. There's a question that I'm sure you have asked yourself over 1,000 times up until this point. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Consumers ask this whenever they go to a store, trying to figure out if this item is something they want to buy. Is it worth it? You may ask yourself this question if you are invited to go to somebody's house. Is it worth it? We ask this question over and over again. Is it worth it? And what we are ultimately asking, whenever we ask ourselves that question, is this. Is the potential reward greater than the cost that I'm going to pay? Am I going to walk out with more than I put in? Is it worth it? I believe this passage, short passage found in the book of Matthew, speaks to that question. Parables are basically short stories designed to teach a truth. This particular parable is one of a cluster of parables that you can find in Matthew 13, all of which are speaking to what the kingdom of heaven or what the kingdom of God is like. Verse 44 says, the kingdom of heaven is like. And then verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like. Each of the different parables in Matthew 13 are giving a different angle of what it means or what it looks like to be in the kingdom of heaven. And I think what our particular parable is essentially getting at is that having this king as your king is a treasure of infinite worth. It is infinitely worth it to be a part of this kingdom. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. We'll just walk through 3 points as we unfold this passage. The first point is looking at the people that treasure. And then secondly, we'll look at the cost to obtain the treasure. And then third, the infinite worth of having this treasure. So the first thing we'll look at is the people that treasure. I believe that every person, believer or non-believer, treasures something. A treasure is basically something that you value and love. It may not be a treasure to somebody else. They might treasure something completely different than you, but it's a treasure to you. For some people, it might be money and what money can offer you. But for others, they may have no care for money. It might be for others. It might be a relationship. It might be family. It might be comfort. It might be their career. But really, a treasure is something that, or someone that you value and love. Everybody has a treasure in their heart because everybody has a desire in them, the capacity to love. The parable, this parable, specifically is speaking to those who treasure being a part of the kingdom of God, having Jesus as their king. What do people in this kingdom look like? Well, one type of person, part of this kingdom, is somebody who stumbles across the treasure. If you look at verse 44 with me, it says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field which a man found. So one type of person that treasures stumbles across the treasure. There's hidden treasure right under his nose, and he finds it. I don't know if you've ever seen this this TV show called Antique Roadhouse. Anybody watch or seen clips of it? Show of hands. Yeah, a few of you. The older folks have seen this. You might understand, if you've seen this, how this person that stumbles across the treasure might have felt. Basically, the Antique Roadshow, if you've never seen it, people have different items lying around their house. And they think this particular item is valuable. So they go to these experts to get that particular item appraised. And if you've ever seen Antique Roadshow, it's crazy how much these experts know about something. It often leaves you wondering, like, where did you really, are you serious? Like these kind of questions. I remember watching this episode where this old gentleman had an old blanket, and he explained the background of this blanket. He said, I had this old blanket that's been sitting on my rocking chair. I think it's valuable, but I'm not sure. It's been in my family for generation upon generation upon generation upon generation. And I remember the expert just took a look at that blanket, and he just lost his breath. He said, do you know anything about this blanket? And this man, this gentleman says, I have no idea. And this expert starts to say, the fabric, as I just look at the fabric, I can tell it comes from the Navajo tribe. And you're like, what? How do you know that? He says, as I feel it, the fabric tells me that it is of the chief of this tribe. And you're like, how do you know this stuff? He says, the color scheme tells me it's of a unique king of a tribe. And then there's that question at the end. He says, do you know how much this blanket is worth? This older gentleman, he says, I don't know, $50, $100. The expert says, $500,000. $500,000 sitting on his rocking chair. Anybody could have gone in and out of his house. He's entertained hundreds of guests, thousands, I would say, up until that point. Anybody could have snatched it. $100 million sitting on his rocking chair right under his nose. I think that's how this first person feels. He stumbles across the treasure. Verse 44 again, it says, treasures hidden in a field which a man found. Now, most likely, this man is a poor hired hand that was working a field as he did every day. He's working. And this particular day, if you can imagine, he strikes the ground and he hears a clank that he's never heard before. He starts to uncover the dirt and he finds a treasure, something he had not seen before. Now, in the ancient world, there was nothing like banks. No place to keep one's money safe. And it was common, actually, for robbers to raid houses. In an effort to keep your valuables, what people would do is bury it in the field to keep it safe. But probably what happened is over time, either because that person had passed away or moved on, that treasure was lost until he discovered it. That is this person. The first person has no idea that there is treasure just under him, just minding his own business, working the field as he always does. And I wonder if you are somebody that has stumbled across Christ. You did not know that the King of the universe was real. You might have just walked into an all-soul service and you heard the preaching of the word and it struck you in your heart. You also can identify with this man, stumbles across the treasure. But there are others, not that stumble across the treasure, but there are others that might have been searching for pearls. Some stumble, this person searches. The second person, most likely an affluent man, has been searching for pearls. Verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. And that word search, it's an interesting word. It means to look intently for. If you remember the passage in Matthew 18, when a shepherd has a flock of 99, or a flock of 100, one sheep goes astray, it says, does he not leave the 99 in search, it's the same word, in search of that one sheep? That's what this man is doing. This shepherd has been searching high and low for this lost sheep, and this merchant has been searching high and low for this pearl. Pearls in those days, very valuable. They would probably be comparable to diamonds of today, just extremely rare, very costly. Pearl hunters, they would basically go into a deep body of water, tie a rock around their waist, throw it overboard so that that rock can propel you deep enough so that you might have a minute or two to search for pearls. Many people lost their lives in search of these pearls. And so you can imagine why they were so valuable. This man is going to great lengths searching for fine pearls. And I wonder if some of you might feel like that. Searching. You have found God because you have been searching him. What this passage is saying, as we think about the people who treasure, everybody has a treasure. Some stumble across the treasure. Some search for that treasure. And the question for you this morning, what is your treasure? I hope that during your time in Champaign, however long or short it is, that you will find the treasure you're looking for. But please, please make sure that your treasure is long-lasting and it does not lose value. Because what a shame it would be. At the end of your life, you realize that the treasure you've been searching for does not measure up. But for Christians, we have found an everlasting, eternal treasure that can never be taken from us, nor us from it. Everyone has a treasure. And the question is, what will you give up for that treasure? So secondly, let's talk about the cost. The cost to obtain the treasure. The people, we first talked about the people. Some search, some stumble. But let's secondly talk about the cost. Two very different people. Worlds apart. And yet their response is eerily similar. They sell everything and they buy. They sold all that they had, right? Verse 44 says, kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has. And that's the same response that the merchant in verse 46 does as well. Finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had. Selling all, it means in our hearts, valuing nothing above the greatest treasure in our hearts. It's getting rid of the smaller treasures, everything that we own, to gain the greatest treasure. Sell all means to prioritize our greatest treasure, whatever it is that we value most, with our time, with our energy, our resources, and our heart. I think the idea here is that the less we love, the less love we have for other things, the more love we can have for our treasure. Because purity has power. And the less we love other things, selling, getting rid of anything that competes with my love for that treasure. And for Christians, that means having an undivided allegiance for our King. Getting rid of anything that competes with my love for Jesus. The response is the same. They not only sell all they had, but their response is also the same. They buy. They buy. They say no to their smaller treasures so that they can say yes to the greater treasure. Verse 44, it's the same response. They have the same response, these two characters. Verse 44, they sell all that they have and buys that field. Same response in verse 46, who on finding one pearl of great value went, sold all that he had, and bought it. They are letting go of the smaller treasures, saying no, selling, so that they can say yes to the treasure. It's not selling for selling's sake, but it's so that you can buy, obtain, receive this greater treasure. And so application for us, make intentional choices for the sake of your greatest treasure. Spend your time, energy, effort for that treasure. And for Christians, continue to value your treasure. Spend time in the Word. Spend time in prayer. Go to small group and meet and gain a treasure. Gain more of a love for that treasure. I think the price that I am willing to pay for something, right? If you think about it, if you're willing to spend a lot of money for something, it's not a reflection necessarily of how valuable that thing is, but rather it's a reflection of how valuable that thing is to me. Whenever you want to buy a lot, you spend a lot of money, it's a reflection of how important that particular thing is to me. And the question for us this morning, what are we willing to pay any cost for? Because if there is a cap to what you are willing to pay, then perhaps you have a greater treasure somewhere else. Sacrifice always reveals our treasure. What are we willing to pay any cost to obtain? I think about sacrifice. And as I think about sacrifice, for me, I cannot help but think about my mother. From the moment that babies come out, a mother, and there is a baby there, the mother spends every waking moment tending to their treasure. They're changing their diapers, feeding them, running after them, playing games with them. The mother really doesn't have much time to call her own, sacrificing. And her sacrifice reveals her heart. I think about my mom. And if you were to go into her closet, you would not find any flashy items there. You would not find any designer jeans or nice dresses. What you would find in my mother's closet are worn-out clothes that she's worn for years on end. And you would find these old white sneakers. Those are the sneakers that my mom wore as a single mom working in a post office late into the night so that she could be there in the morning when I wake up. And she did that for 30 years until her retirement. Currently, she has a hard time walking, uses a cane, because her knees have been torn up by wearing these cheap generic shoes over the years. Sacrifice reveals everything. And whenever you see sacrifice, it's basically saying, my loss is your gain. Whatever cost we are willing to pay reveals the treasure in our hearts. And for Christians, at the root of it, to sell everything that we own means in our hearts valuing nothing more than Christ. It doesn't mean to give up your studies if you are a student. It doesn't mean to liquidate all of our money and to give it all away for the sake of missions. But it means, in whatever you are doing, prioritizing Jesus. That as you work, you are doing it because you love Jesus. As you study, because you love Jesus. To sell everything means to cherish nothing above Christ. To make Christ the greatest treasure and make every decision out of love for Christ. Amen? Now, if we just ended here, it's actually a very miserable sermon. There's a great treasure. Sell everything. Let's pray. Right? It doesn't end well. So lastly, we're going to talk about the joy. There is joy in having this treasure. Imagine with me, if you are a friend, imagine this. You find out that your friend sold everything that he owned for a pearl. Imagine how crazy that sounds. And if you were their friend, I'm sure you would ask them, you did what? You sold everything that you had for a pearl? I mean, think about how ludicrous that sounds. But I imagine that this person that sold everything, this merchant, and is holding this pearl, has a smile on their face. They are saying, it was worth it. It was worth it. Why? Because there is objective value in that treasure or pearl. Right? Verse 45. There is objective value in that treasure. Verse 45, it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value. It says, a pearl of great value. There is objective value in that item, in that treasure. I did a quick search. What is the most expensive pearl that you can find? There was one that weighed close to 75 pounds, if you can imagine, 26 inches long, selling at a cost of $100 million. Crazy. Pearl of great value. There is value, significant value. And it's not until that merchant stumbles across the treasure, sees the amazing value of this treasure, sells everything that they have. There is value. It's one of great worth. But I thought about it. Were there not other customers that walked into this store, saw this very pearl, and did not act on it? So it's not enough that there's value in the treasure. It's not enough that there is objective value. It has to be valuable to me. There has to be a subjective treasuring. It has to mean something. When I read verse 44, there is one word that stands out. It's the word joy. It says in verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes, sells all that he has, buys that field. In his joy. It is not difficult. There's joy. He cannot believe that he is walking away with this treasure. In his mind, he is thinking he's getting the better end of the deal. Whenever you get your treasure, there is joy. There is joy, and not just joy, but there's a deep joy. Christianity is not a religion of do's and don'ts. Christianity is a religion of joy. Joy, unquenchable, prevailing joy. Because when this person sees the value that he gains, that he walks away, whatever he gives is not even a sacrifice. You see, because the beauty of an object far outweighs the cost. I remember the first time, and let me just end with this story. I remember the first time that I, as a young man, ever walked into a hospital and encountered a woman that had just delivered, had given birth. I was a college student. One of my dear friends, older sister, was in the hospital, gave birth. I got a phone call, so I went to the hospital, and, you know, you can imagine a college kid doesn't know much. I was I still am a meathead, so I didn't know much. And I remember I walked into this hospital. She had just given birth, like not less than an hour ago. And I walked in, and I remember her face was a little swollen. She had bags under her eyes. Looked like she was in war, honestly. And I remember, and you know, younger men don't do this. This is one of those don't do what I did. I remember I walked into the hospital, I saw her, and I said, whoa, you don't look so good. Don't do that. I did that. And then she starts to recount in graphic detail for my virgin ears what just happened. She said, you know, KJ, I started to feel contractions. And I said, did it hurt? Right? Like, another thing you don't say. And she said, imagine somebody stabbing your stomach. I said, ooh, okay, that's enough. And then she said, that was like at 3 in the morning. She went to the hospital, and the baby was not ready to be delivered. And so in an effort to speed up this delivery, they had her walk around Carl Hospital on one of the floors. The floor was basically like a square. And so she walked around with the IV coming out of her arm. And every once in a while, when that contraction would hit, she would stop, wait for the contraction to pass, and then continue walking. She said, I did this for about 7 hours. Whoa. She said, and when the baby was ready to come. I'll spare you the details. You can imagine. She, from the beginning contraction, was in the hospital for 13 hours. I had just seen her right after she had given birth. She was holding this baby. The baby's name was Ryan. And I'll never forget what she said. She's looking at baby Ryan, recounted what just happened less than an hour ago, and this is what she said. She said, but KJ, the craziest thing is that as I look at Ryan, I don't remember the pain. And I remember driving home from the hospital, so confused. Like, how do you not remember this pain of 13-hour anguish? I didn't know then what I know now. That when you see your treasure in your arms, it's not that she didn't experience the pain. The pain was real. But as she's looking at that treasure in her arms, the beauty of that treasure far outweighs whatever cost she gave. And that is the story for Christians. That as we look at our Jesus, the beauty of our object, King Jesus, far outweighs any cost. It does not nullify the pain. It puts everything in perspective. Because our King sold everything to gain. Came down from heaven to earth, put on flesh for the sake of his people. And he bought us through his life, death, and resurrection. And for us, when we see this King that sold all that he had, gave up heavenly glory, took on flesh, buying us on the cross, we walk away with more than we have given. The world may not understand. They might look at your life and they might say, what are you doing? You are wasting your life. You are wasting the best years of your life. You are giving and sacrificing for something that does not make sense. But the Christian can have a smile on their face because we know that there is never an empty sacrifice. It is never a waste to cherish Christ, to love Christ, to prioritize Christ. And my prayer for you and for All Souls Church is that Jesus would always be your greatest treasure. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his life, death, and resurrection. We are hell-deserving sinners saved by your grace alone. And we look to you. We think of what the psalmist says, whom have I in heaven but you?
Earth has nothing that I desire besides you. My heart and my flesh may fail, but you are my portion forever and ever. We pray that you will continue to be the joy of our hearts, and you would continue to be the treasure of all souls, that we would uplift the name of Christ. We thank you for this time, and we thank you. It is our joy to be a part of your kingdom. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.